ever won. Anybody remember what we're talking about? All right, that's okay. I didn't think you would, so I'll start all over. I gave you a verse last week to start everything that said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." In other words, boy, I really wanted to sit down and rejoice with you about our salvation that the Lord hath given us. And that's an easy thing. That's an easy thing to teach on. That's an easy thing to preach on. It's something that people rejoice in. It's something that lifts the heart and makes everybody feel better. And that's what he wanted to do. But he said, but it was needful. It was necessary that I write unto you not of the common salvation. I write so that you will earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, in the literal Greek, that reads this way: to the once for all delivered to the saints' faith. And I told you that I wanted to teach on something that we could all rejoice in, but that I had to teach on something that's not as joyful for me nor happy for me. And what was that? False prophets. False teachers. False teaching. Now, the verse that I gave you is where? Deuteronomy. Well, it's actually in Jude. So, but we did read many verses in Deuteronomy, didn't we? Deuteronomy 13. Yes. And then we went from Deuteronomy to Isaiah chapter 9. And in chapter 9, it starts out about, you know, talking about, "For unto us a child is born unto us." And we talked about that being read at Christmas. And he follows that up with talking about false prophets, false preachers. A prophet just means proclamation. One who is proclaiming either a future event or a futuristic event. Now, why would he follow up, "For unto us a child is born," with talking about false prophets? Why would he do that? Huh? Well, what would a false teacher teach, since you spoke up? I'm coming over here. Now, see, none of the rest of them will speak up. Sandy will occasionally, and then she goes like this. You know, she covers up so I won't hit her too hard. But why would it follow that? What would a false prophet say? What would a false teacher say? What would a false doctrine say?
They're trying to get you to follow the word, but it's not the right word for the salvation.
Well, in the context of that verse, so, what, you were going to say something. Go ahead. I'm like you. You know, I sit and I listen to Gene or my brother preach. And while I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, "Oh, you got to say this, say this. You got to say this." You know, but, well, that's how we think. You know, we're teaching while they're preaching, or we're preaching while they're teaching, or whatever. So he's going to tell us something.
Well, the conflict is between God and Satan. So if Christ is being born in the world, then Satan will come on with his antichrist plural.
So the false teacher then is going to say, "Oh no, there's no child born, there's no son given. There's no great salvation. We are all..." Oh, you've heard it many times. I've heard politicians say it. Oh, they say it. I mean, you wait till election time. You'll hear more scripture from these politicians than you can spit. Oh, we're all children of God. Are we? You better believe we're not. Are we all the people of God? Yes, we are. We're all the creation of God. But my friend, that's a long way from being the people of God and a child of God. The difference is heaven and hell. I'll give you a good example. I saw, I'm not saying yay or nay on it. I'm just making an example that crossed my mind. Betty White, 99-year-old, passed away this week, just a week before, I believe, or so, before her 100th birthday. Does anyone recall the headlines that was in the paper? You don't? I'm going to give it to you then. That's the first time you've ever said you didn't know. Betty White is reunited with the Golden Girls. Now, the Golden Girls in the TV show had already died, except Betty. And so the headline was, the Golden Girls are reunited now. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? It's possible, but it's not enough to put in a headline. You should have said, boy, I hope they knew the Lord, then they'll be reunited. But see, that because I read the article very carefully. Never said one thing about the Lord or Christ or Jesus. All it talked about was Betty's purity in her long career and how she never used the vulgarity of the others. And how she was always just doing good things for people. That don't mean anything. I'm not putting her anywhere. I don't know where Betty White is. Betty White's somewhere. I tell you that. But the point is this. We have to get over generalities, folks. The world wants to talk in generalities. We must talk and believe and teach and preach specifics. For unto us a child is born. That's specific. But when you say that Christ was not born of a virgin, that virgin just means a young maiden, a young girl. Well, that could be true. But that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says he was born of a virgin because remember I told you last week, she said, how shall these things be seeing that I know not a man? Now I know in this warped world we're in, I get, we're warped. But in God's world, a woman needs a man to produce a child, folks. And in reality, a woman needs a man to produce a child, or vice versa. A man needs a woman to produce a child. Two men can't produce a child. They can adopt one. But if you adopt a baby, you shouldn't go on paternity leave. You shouldn't be worn out. You say, Tom, why do you bring that up? Because that's false teaching. If we're not rooted and grounded, and that verse that I gave you in Jude, do you remember what it says? The once for all delivered to the saints, starts with an F. Boy, y'all forget quick. A-I-T-H. The once for all delivered to the saints' faith. Now, we all hear people talk about certain people are people of faith. Is that true? Well, it's true in generalities because I could be a Presbyterian faith. Brenda could be a Methodist faith, hypothetically. Becky could be a holiness faith, a Pentecostal faith in generalities. But those are meaningless, folks. Those are denominations. And they're not worth 5 cents. The Free Will Baptist denomination ain't worth 5 cents. And you say, Thomas, anything wrong being Free Will Baptist? I didn't say that. I said the denomination in it of itself is useless. That's not the faith. There was one faith delivered to the saints. What is that faith? I'll give this to you so many times. Please just remember one thing I say. Hold it up. You got it in your hand. Folks, that's faith. If I get you to hold yours up, you ain't even got one. Hold yours up. Why is that the faith, honey? That's all you can trust in. Faith is trust. You can't trust in Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or... You can't trust that. You can trust that. That's your faith. If it's not that, it's not faith. That's why it's the once for all delivered. That's all there is. So the assault is on that. I could name you a denomination that took the blood out. Oh, we can't have that bloody gospel. We can't have that bloody religion. So out of the songbooks, they took out the blood songs. Well, is their faith any good? Because the last time I checked, that book that we call God's Word, and it is, says, without the shedding of... Oh, my assistant got it. Boy, I tell you, she's got the... She takes that... Gina Kenobly or whatever it is, takes that every day. And now she's taking Prevacin or whatever that is. What is that stuff they tell you to take and your brain will get better? Anyway, has it helped me? Just ask my wife. She'll say you could take that whole bottle and help you, for crying out loud. But you know what I don't forget? You say, Tom, you're bragging. No. No, I'm praising. Because that's my prayer. When I pull that book down of a morning, you know the first thing I ask for? Lord, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me to remember. Help me to retain. Help me to live according to it. Why? That's my faith. That's what I'm trusting in. That's what I'm trusting in. But false teachers, they began back in the old time. That's why I started in Deuteronomy. What was they saying? They were saying, thus saith the Lord. And what did God say about that? He says, well, if they say, thus saith the Lord, and it don't come about, they're lying. Because everything the Lord says comes to be. Now, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe that's where we left off. Jeremiah chapter 2. Now, I'm going to go fast because I got, I got to run through the Bible so fast. And I'm not started where I'm going yet. I'm trying to get where I'm going so I can start where I'm at when I get there. All right, if that makes any sense. Now, let's see, verse 8. Well, let's look up your verse. What's what verse 1 say? Somebody read that out real loud. Verse 1, chapter 2, Jeremiah.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying.
Now, what old Jeremiah is going to say come from
God.
From the Lord, from God, from Jehovah. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of the pits, though the land of drought and through the land of drought and of the shadows of death, through a land that it was no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. In spite of all that I did for you, that's what you did for me. The priest said, here's why they did that. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. Folks, when you listen to someone that says, thus saith the Lord, but they don't know God, you're going the wrong way. You're going to end up in the wrong place. That's why it is so necessary, especially in the day we live in, we must stand against anything that stands against this. If you're not for me, you're against me. That's not complicated, is it, Tracy? That's pretty simple. If you're either for him, or you're against him. There's no in between. Well, no, I'm not exactly against him. I just don't agree with everything in the Bible. I think there's different interpretations of the Bible. I think I think you're against him. You're either for him or you're against him. That's not complicated. That's simple. You know that old KISS theory? Anybody ever heard of the KISS theory? Keep it simple, stupid. Well, that's pretty simple. Remember that, young man. The KISS theory. Just keep it simple. Whatever you do, don't complicate it. Keep it simple. Now, and he goes on to say, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The very people that's supposed to be telling the people they're going the wrong way. Well, they're not going to tell them they're going the wrong way. They'll offend them. I knew a preacher not long ago. Can't remember exactly. But he was pastoring the church, and there was an issue in the church that was totally wrong. Totally wrong. And he called the deacons again, and he said, well, we can't have this. This is not right. We can't have this. And so they corrected it. Half the church got mad and they decided to vote on the preacher. Now the preacher got the majority, but barely. You know what he did? He said, boys, I'll see you. Because he knew he was on good ground. See, that's what it takes. When you preach or teach the word, I can't worry about hurting your feelings. I wouldn't hurt anybody in here. God knows my heart, I wouldn't. I pray for everyone in here. I would never hurt you. I would never offend you. But I'm going to give you this. I'm going to take this. Listen, there's been times the preacher has offended me. He would never offend his brother. But he offended me. Why? Because listen, when he preached the truth, it hit old Tom right between the eyes, and Tom didn't like it. Now, what was Jesus' response to that? What? Are you offended because I tell you the truth? But see, false teachers and false preachers and false prophets, they're not going to tell you the truth. They don't want to offend you. They don't want to run you off. Because they want to keep the power over you. And I'll show you that as we go through. I'll show you that. So he says, and the prophets prophesied by. Well, last time I checked, Baal is the opposite of God. Baal is of Satan, folks. So I'm going to tell you that. Now, you can take it for what you worth. I don't care. I just give it. If a preacher preaches anything other than exactly what this book that I hold here says. He is preaching Satan. He is preaching Satan worship. The Bible says that any worship other than through this book is worship of, starts with a D, next letter's E, next letter's N, M, I get my spelling here. Who said that? Demons. You say, well, Tom, we wouldn't worship demons. Well, if you vary from this, you are. God doesn't mince words, folks. Either for me or against me. You either worship me according to what I gave you. Is there not a verse in the Bible in Hebrews, I believe it is, that says, for how shall we... I know y'all would like to be like her. The woman is just an amazing thing, isn't she? I mean, she's the only one that ever gives me that verse that I'm looking for. I just about forgot myself. For how shall we escape if we She's good. How shall we escape? Now, we call that a rhetorical statement. Now, these two young men are in school. They're smart. So I know they know what a rhetorical statement is. Tell me what a rhetorical statement is. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. You have to speak up. Did I not tell you that's a smart boy? Now, he wanted to, but he said, no, I'm going to let him answer because that's what I do. I let him answer. You knew, didn't you, honey? Yeah, a rhetorical question or a rhetorical statement means that the answer to the question is in the question itself. So when I say, how shall we escape? What's the answer? You won't. You won't if you neglect so great salvation. That's why false preachers, false teachers, false prophets don't tell it that way, because they'd have to be condemning themselves, because they'd know themselves, hey, I keep going the way I'm going, I'm not going to escape. So that's what it's talking about. So he comes on down to verse 9, and he says this, wherefore, I will, Jackie sick? Okay. No, I just wondered. You don't have to give me a commentary. I just asked one question and the answer is no. I don't need to know a lot. The answer is no. That's because otherwise I'd be praying for her. Now I'm not. No. I'm just kidding. 9 says, wherefore I will plead with you. Now what do you think that means? Wherefore I will plead with you. Huh? Oh, see, you're looking in your Bible. I don't want you to tell me what the thing says in the...
I'm not. I'm telling you what...
You've written down. Where did you get that?
You.
Thank you. I stand corrected. Well, daggone. Go ahead and refer to that since I gave it to you. You would think that it means that he's going, like if we were pleading with somebody, we'd be begging them, you know. We'd be trying to convince them to come our way. But no, that's not what that word means. It means to rebuke, to punish. So he says, because you're going that way, because you're teaching that, because you're preaching contrary to me, I'm going to punish you. Now, that's not favorable today. No one likes to think about God punishing. We want to talk about God forgiving and God being merciful and God being gracious and God being loving. Those are all true. I'll shout them out from the rooftop. But that ain't what that's talking about. He says, I'm going to punish you. He says, wherefore I will yet rebuke you and punish you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I rebuke. To all who follow you, I'm going to rebuke them. Now, if you will, look over at Jeremiah, let's see, 5. Jeremiah 5. Now, you remember last week I gave you 21 and 20, and that talks about the ocean. Remember where he says it goes to a certain point, and then that's it. And if a storm comes up and it goes inland, it does what? It comes back out to the boundaries, because that's the decreed. God's decrees don't change. You agree with that, don't you?
Yes.
Huh? Okay. So if you agree with that verse, you also have to agree with what else he decrees. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's as solid and same thing as the other one. One's true, the other one's true. And so he says in verse 31, the prophets that prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, by their own power. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What's he saying there? What's he saying there? Is that not where I told you last week about Paul says that in the last days that they will want their ears tickled. Listen, we could get more people in here. Guarantee it. Guarantee it, we could fill this place up with a different gospel. If we made it a social gospel. You know, if we started teaching, well, now, if you'll do this, the Lord will bless you financially. If you'll do this, the Lord will bless you with health. If you just do this, we could get more. But that's not how you get more. Those people are going the wrong way. You say, Tom, that's pretty cruel. When I say they're going the wrong way, that's not true. I've known many a good, faithful child of God that wasn't financially set. I've known many of a good, godly child of God who almost their entire life was unhealthy. So it's not true, is it? When it says, by his stripes ye are healed, what does that mean? Well, I've heard them preach. Oh, that means if you trust enough, you won't ever be sick because his stripes, you're healed. Or if you're sick and I pray for you, you're going to be healed because if you've got enough faith, that's what that verse means. Well, if you look at the context of that verse, that don't mean that at all. It's talking about the cross there, folks. About those stripes he took in Pilate's hall. And the healing there is not physical healing. Although, hey, when we get to heaven, are we going to be physically healed?
Yes.
Well, then that I'll agree with. But my friend, you could... Listen, I've had something for 6 weeks. I don't know what I got. I went to the doctor when they said, you don't have COVID. I said, thank you. Well, I can't be sure of that because who knows about the test. And they test me for the flu. I've had all the vaccines, flu and everything else. Well, you don't have flu. Well, then they did an EKG. Well, EKG was perfect. Well, then they did a lung x-ray. Oh, your lung x-ray looked good. I said, well, you've told me everything that's not wrong with me. How about telling me what's wrong with me? Well, don't know. But I'm going to give you these pills and you take them for a week. Well, Tuesday will be the end of the week. I'm hoping those last 2 days are better. Because so far, they ain't working. Enough of that. So I know that it's false teaching because we get sick. and we die. But we're going to a place where we'll never be sick. We're going to a place where we'll never die. That's the truth. And anything else is just so that they'll have dominion over others. That's how, listen, they just, and the Bible says, they do it for money. So, now look, if you will, at 14, chapter 14. Chapter 14. When they fast, oh, well, I got to read that verse before that because, you know, this is the offending part. This is the part where nobody wants to tell us. But this is right out of God's word. He says, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. Wow. Oh, that's 14:11. Pray not for these people, for their good. Why? Why would God say don't pray for them? Are we to pray for everybody? That was a question. Anybody want to venture an answer?
We are.
We are? Well, honey, we got a problem then. Because I didn't read this wrong, I don't think. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Let me tell you something. You can go so far with God and he cut you off. He may even kill you. That might be better than being in a place where God said, don't even pray for them. I'm not hearing no prayer for them. Why? They won't believe this. They're trying to change this. Why do you think Revelation ends by saying, now anyone that takes away or anyone that adds to, I'll lay the plagues of this book on them. You see, when you add to or take away, Tracy, you are contrary to the word then. And remember we said, it's not complicated, it's simple. And what is that simplicity? You are either for him or you're against him. If you try to alter this word of God, you're not for him. You're against him. So he says, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, O Lord God, behold the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword. I mean, one verse later, after God said, I'm going to give them the sword, I'm going to give them famine, I'm going to give them pestilence, the false prophet comes right behind him and says, no, you won't get the sword. Neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured in this place. Now, who are we going to believe, God or the prophet? Because, see, if he was a true prophet, he'd been saying, boy, better batten down the hatch because God's getting ready to bring the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. But they can't say that because that's offensive and the people would not follow them. So they change what God said. God won't do it. Folks, let me tell you something. We have people today that don't believe in hell. Right out of the pulpit. When God says, hell hath enlarged its borders. But if they preach hell, they're not going to get the followers. They won't get the numbers. They won't bring in the money. They won't have the control. Yeah. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy. Well, he didn't just say they prophesy lies. He said in my name. I don't care if it's that young man over there or that old man back there. When they get behind that desk, it better be coming right out of here. Yeah. Verbatim. Not their opinion. Not what they think. Not what they believe. Just right straight out of here. Anything else would be what? A lie. And if it's a lie, it's false. Because what's the opposite of truth? He says, you're either for me, that's truth, or you're against me, and that's the lie. It's not complicated. We can't complicate this thing. Keep it simple. There are two ways. There's a straight gate and a narrow way. And there's what? A broad gate and a wide way. Few enters one. Many enters the other. But you know the sad thing about it is, a lot of preachers are telling those on the broad way, yeah, on the wide way, that they're on the right way.
Right.
The blind leading the blind. Honey, you can shout it out. You don't have to say it under your breath. The blind leading the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. Look, if you will, at Jeremiah 23. Verse 9. We'll read quickly. Time's running out. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Wow. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome. I know what that's like now, before the Lord saved me. I know what it's like to drive home and not remember how you got home.
Yeah.
Or remember where you were when you wasn't home. That's what he's talking about. Like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness, for the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are... Listen, if we don't get more gospel coming out of the pulpits, bless God, there's going to be more people going to hell. I remember a time, and I'm not going back into nostalgia, but I remember a time when they would get in the pulpit, bless God, they didn't have air conditioning, they'd roll up their sleeves. And when they did, you might as well get comfortable. But boy, you could feel hell hot. You could see people standing there like this at the invitation, trying to hold on. Because of great conviction. But folks, we've mellowed it down. There's no conviction because there's nothing to be convicted of. We all want it to be smooth. We all want people to come in here and feel comfortable. No, bless God, if you're unsaved, you ought not be comfortable in here. You ought not think, well, I can just come in there and melt right in with them and start worshiping. You know, it's like when you have a, and I know it's off course, but I'm going to get on it and I'll come right back. It's like when you have the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that if you come in and partake of that and you're unsaved, God may kill you. If you come in and partake of that and you're a saint of God, but you've got unconfessed sin in your life and you just take up that wine and drink it and that bread and eat it, bless God, he may strike you with sickness. He takes that very serious. We should take it very serious. You shouldn't be coming in and thinking that you could just partake of the Last Supper, the breaking of the bread, his broken body, or the drinking of the wine or the juice, which is his shed blood for the remission of sin. Bless God, y'all take that serious. Because God takes it serious. But when we don't take it serious, that's false. And when you think you can walk up and a priest, and I'm not saying this against a religion, I'm telling you, when a priest thinks that he can take a piece of bread or a piece or a cracker or whatever it is, and he can turn that into the actual body of Christ and just give it to anybody, it's right out of hell. And that's where it's going to take people, because it's false. You're not for him. You're against him. You say, Tom, you're awful passionate about this. It's like that boy this morning sitting there with his sign. Down on my luck. Any help you could give me would be appreciated. And I drove right by. The Lord said, don't drive by him. Go back and give him something. But tell him what I tell you to tell him. So I circled. I've done it before. I circled. I called him over to the car, and I gave him some money. And I said, this won't get you far. But if you'll know the Lord, he'll get you as far as you ever need to go. You're lost, and you need a Savior. That's why I'm passionate. I don't want people to find out after they die that hell's real. Because God says it's real. Yeah. It won't be real after they die. It's real now. That's why he says today. Amen. Not tomorrow, bless God, because you don't boast of tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of... Listen, it's not the day of healthiness. It's not the day of wealthiness. It's not the day of anything. It's the day of salvation. It's the day you better get saved. Because before morning comes, your feet may be real hot. And am I a God at hand, verse 23? Saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Folks, the preaching I hear sometimes perverts God. They act like God don't know anything. They act like God don't see anything. They act like God don't know or see what he don't care what he knows or sees. He's oblivious to everything. Oh, he don't care if you choose who you want to love. Yeah, he does. He sure does. You love a wrong one with God, you'll find out he cares. Yeah. You don't believe me? I wish I could bring up some Sodom and Gomorrah people this morning. They'd tell you. Yeah. They'd tell you that as soon as Lot walked out, as soon as he walked into Zoar, the Bible says, what God said was going to happen. He rained down hell, fire, and brimstone on them. And you know what? You couldn't find Sodom and Gomorrah today if you was the best digger in the world. You say, well, Tom, that's the Old Testament. Well, we're going to find out. What is it our pastor said? If the Old Testament is the New Testament, I never can get that right. Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is Old Testament revealed. Okay. Well, we're going to find out in the coming weeks who's right. We're going to find out who's right. Now, only two places in the Bible, in the New Testament, does it talk about false prophets. I could go on and take you on through the minor prophets, verse after verse after verse, where he's talking about false prophets. But only two places in the New Testament does it talk about the same thing. That's in Mark 13 and Matthew 24. I will let anyone in here tell me what the theme is of Mark 13 and Matthew 24 if you'd like. Since I just covered Matthew extensively, I know someone is going to impress James over here and our visitors with what you've learned. Quickly. Do it quick. Huh? Isn't that something? He says in the last days, going to be false prophets and false Christs that say, I'm here, I'm over here. Well, he's not talking about somebody saying, I'm Christ. What he's talking about is the way to Christ is over here. The way to Christ is over here. He says, oh, don't you go.
Right.
Don't you go out there. I ain't out there. I'm here. I'm here. This is where I am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and
forever.
That means I ain't going to change. In the last days, I'm not changing. You want to find me? You'll find me right here. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Listen, that's true today, and if the Lord doesn't come back and a thousand years has passed, guess what? In a thousand years, it's going to be true. Same thing, because that is the truth. Anything else is a lie, and if it's a lie, it's not of God. If it's a lie, it's of the father of liars. Now, let me read this real quick, and then I'm done. Thus saith the Lord, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you empty. They speak a vision of their own. How many times have you heard that? Follow your heart. Follow your heart.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Well, somebody in here ought to be able to tell me that, because I gave it to you more times than I can count. Thank you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? So let me ask you something. You want to follow something that's desperately wicked? Then just follow your heart.
That's right.
Oh, I love another man. A man saying that. I just followed my heart. Well, when you stand before God, see how it works out. Or a woman with a woman. Well, I just couldn't help who I fell in love with.
Come on now.
Hey, when you stand before God, see how it works out for you. You say, Tom, are you judging people? No, I don't judge anyone. I'm not the judge. But I'll tell you what, the judge of all the earth will do right. Well, what does that mean, the judge of all the earth will do right? What do you think that means? Well, this is right. Remember, and I'm done. I know you keep saying, you say that all the time. And the books were opened. When is that? Well, he says, and I saw a great white throne. And he that sat upon it, from whom the heaven and the earth passed away. Because the heaven and the earth are cursed. And it ain't going to stand before God. It's going to have to pass away because he's holy. Well, let me tell you something. Bless God, if you're not holy, you're going to phew, too. Only you're going to phew, right into hell.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens to the heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
It shall melt with
fervent heat.
Hey, you think God's going to treat the earth and heaven any different than going to treat you? The books will be opened. Well, this is the book. And they that were not found written in the Lamb's book of life. You don't hear much of that anymore. Hey, just be a good person. Just be good to your neighbor. If your name ain't in the book. Remember, God, it keeps coming to me. I can't help it. Remember, he sent out the 70. Morning, they came back and they was all excited. Woo, man, God, you can't believe. Lord, you just can't believe how it was just wonderful. We cursed out, we cast out demons and we healed people. And we. He said, oh, don't get excited about that. Rejoice. Oh, glory. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, I'm running out of time. I see you. Run out of breath. Run out of energy. Run out of everything.